our timer, but Larry is, this is Larry, by the way, Larry Nagel. Say hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
We haven't started yet, Larry. I'm just explaining. And then this is the recording, and I don't need to yell, correct? And Joe is going to tell us when the 5 minutes are up, and you'll probably say, that's fine. Okay.
I can do that.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Today, July 11, it's 7 o'clock, and we're going to call the Kensington Fire Protection District meeting to order. We have Director Don Domer, Larry Nagel, Nina Harmon, and Joe DeVille. Janice is not here tonight. So I'm going to call for consent of the consent items. Number 3, 4, and 5. Do any of you want to pull them? Any comment?
No.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to adopt our consent items.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Larry?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
Only one vote.
Yeah.
You have to do it by roll call.
Oh, because, oh, you're right about that. Larry, because you're a telephone, I've got to do this by roll call, okay? So it's been moved and seconded that we accept the consent calendar, and I'm going to ask for Director Don to vote. Yes, no?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I vote yes, Nina Harmon. Director
aye.
DeVille. Okay, and Director Nagel?
Aye.
Thank you. Sorry, this is cumbersome, I know. Next is oral communications, and this is for items not on the agenda. So I just want to remind you, if it's not on the agenda and it's something else you want to talk about, we're here for you. Glenn Welsh.
Glenn Welsh, living in Kensington still.
I know, former director.
I came tonight to ask for two things. Number one, I would request that the board calendar for its next meeting and possible action. A decision on whether the fire board might want to consider helping the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District fund construction of the community center. I make this request because after looking at the overlapping spending authorities of the two districts, it occurs to me that the principal reason for the work we're planning for the building is seismic upgrade, a safety consideration. And because it's about safety, and the kind of safety that would be protected by measures that protect against emergencies like an earthquake or a fire or something like that, mm-hmm. In those kinds of emergencies, the fire district would have direct jurisdiction to respond, and therefore it has a direct interest in making the need for response as minimal as possible. And that, of course, is what seismic upgrading is all about. And I think, actually, that's the major portion of expenses associated with the planned project. I'm reminded of Measure L, and I think the messaging about what's planned is better this time around than it was then. But I am concerned now that we may be going down the same path of getting into a financial conundrum. Last time around, the plans for redoing the building were tied to a bond for over $2 million to finance the project. We are again looking at a potential shortfall in revenue and thinking about borrowing in some fashion to finance the work. But the fact of the matter is, if the two districts work together, then funding, you know, financing is probably not necessary. And in the end, the taxpayers benefit by the two districts cooperating as much as their spending authorities will allow them to do that. So that's what I would ask you folks to do. I'd also ask you to consider...
Oh, that was one.
Yeah, that's number one. This is the second point is related, and I haven't actually raised this with the police board yet. I plan for the next meeting. I'd like to see us reconsider a proposal I made back in 2015 to have joint finance committee meetings, at least one or two, to talk about how we can work together on community finances. And the main purpose of this is to minimize the risk that taxpayers would have to be called upon to take care of a funding shortfall that might occur in either district because we are not cooperating, as we weren't when Measure L was up for a vote. So that's the second issue I'd like you folks to consider.
So tell me why the present system you think doesn't work, where we, I think we both have at least four opportunities for the public to sit and look at our finances, and then we have final presentations, it's always published. What is it that we would gain from, this is devil's advocate, by the way, I don't know that I'm opposed exactly, I'm just wondering what the benefit would be to that?
Well, the benefit is related to what I just raised about the community center. The more we cooperate on financing, the less the risk to the taxpayer of shortfalls can occur in either district. So the point would be simply to, you know, we shouldn't be acting like we're too foreign countries negotiating.
We're not.
I'm not saying we are, but, you know, there is, people are in the habit of thinking of the two districts as totally separate, firewall between them, and we serve the same community, and I think as leaders, community leaders, we owe it to the community to work together as much as we can for their benefit. And I'm not saying we've worked across purposes, but I think we could do a better job of working together on both sides.
Okay. So no number in mind? You just like to... I'm not sure what you're asking for.
What I would ask
an agenda item would require more detail, I think.
Acknowledgement that the fire district should actively consider aiding the police district in funding the community center, and then perhaps working in a finance committee setting or some other task-oriented setting to figure out what the appropriate figures are.
Okay. We'll put our head together on how to do that, maybe. We're not meeting, you know, in August, so this would be September. We have some time. So, did you? She just had her hand up first.
She sure did.
I just wanted to say something positive, that up on the Hill, we have succeeded at long last in deconstructing the former Baker Black enclosure that blocked access to the back of Los Altos, both for fuel reduction vehicles and fire suppression vehicles.
That's nice.
And the East Bay Regional Parks is very nice.
Yeah. I know you work closely with them, and I know Fire Marshal gives you work closely with the parks. Yeah.
So if we could go back?
No, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah, I'll. Go ahead.
Did you want to say something?
No, I'll hear what you think. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Commenting on that, please.
No.
I want to go back to Lynn, but...
I do too.
Okay. Oh, all right. You want to finish that conversation?
So there is a little history. There was an early reiteration of the fixing the building up, and we did offer some money, and it was one of those things that... And it wasn't a lot, but it was one of those things that, you know, we approved it, and then it failed, and I guess we either hadn't given you the money or we
no, we did give
back,
it,
but it
died.
No,
you remember that, Vita?
Yeah. So I think that I share your feeling about this possibility of doing this.
Good.
Yeah, I'm open. I don't mind going on the record. I think it's, but a lot of details, obviously.
Yeah, we need
details.
Thank you for your open-mindedness. Yeah. I appreciate it.
In view of that, I want to support Les's point. One reason, because the taxpayers do not see the difference between the money that they pay that goes to these two districts, and therefore cooperation is a really good thing. And about 6 months ago, the Kensington Property Owners Association board asked the police board if they would form, with your board, a 2x2 committee to deal with issues like the community center and the public safety building, precisely for the reason that everyone does see this as a common effort, and you should be talking to each other rather than working in isolation.
We do, Kevin.
It's an official thing.
Officially in public, but we
Brown
talk.
Act
yeah.
Stuff, all that. So yeah. That 2x2 means Brown Act, and that is visible.
Right.
Okay. So I want to say that. I have another topic.
2x2 isn't Brown Act. Two of us, two of them is not Brown Act.
Okay. 3x3.
Yeah.
Here.
It's ad hoc.
But it has to be open. Whatever happens.
Doesn't have to be open
well,
when it's ad hoc.
Well, it should be open.
Should be, but doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Just
anyway,
I sound antagonistic. I didn't mean that.
Okay.
So I think that's a great idea, because right now the public safety building has been, project has been sort of on hold for not a very good reason, I think, for the last 6 or 9 months. And I was just thinking that if we finish up the year, not, you know, I guess it's people running for re-election, maybe they want to, you know, I mean, it's probably going to cost us $300,000 to $500,000 of just, you know, construction's going up at 10% a year in our take, is, I don't know, Brenda, 3 or 4% increases annually.
In construction?
No. Just in our, the revenue side, you know, the tax side.
Yes.
Goes
oh,
up.
Oh, isn't keeping
yeah.
Cyrus.
So it's I want to get it going again, and I think that's one way that we might get someplace. Because right now it's not, nothing's happening.
Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to ask about that's not on the agenda is the question about evacuation routes in case of a major conflagration here. At the 2017 KPOA annual meeting, we had several fire and public safety officials who said that we do not have evacuation routes in Kensington and we don't want to have them. And so what happened is that when this guy came out last year for the get ready, it says Kensington Community Evacuation Plan. And here's a map of Kensington and there's no routes.
I know.
About evacuation.
I'm not sure why they called it that, but yeah.
Well, excuse me, yeah. But this you didn't make this. This is Cal Fire does this every
right.
day. My house in right. Glen Ellen. We get this too. Thank you, Carl. Oh, thank you, Jenny. And so what happens here is that we have no evacuation routes, and the officials told us two stories. One story was that they don't know where a fire is coming from. And the second reason was they were advised not to set up evacuation routes, presumably legally. Are either of those statements true?
The first is.
The first one definitely
if,
is true,
if
right.
If the fire is coming from the cemetery, we certainly would not want to go west. We would go east.
Or north and south.
That's good. Okay.
Or if
north
the,
south.
Or north and south, obviously.
So
if the fire is coming from the park, obviously you're fleeing away from the park.
Super. So you have now hit on the nail the two problems we have in the Hillside District, where we absolutely know where the dangers are coming from. And Fire Marshal Dave has given us wonderful presentations on the dangers coming from the park. And very few people think about the dangers coming from below. If there's a major fire and if there's an earthquake, there will be a major, there will be many major fires along the Edward Fault. It is incumbent on us to have evacuation plans for both situations. If a fire breaks out, okay, in somebody's house, that's not an evacuation plan, that's local. This is the conflagration. And so we know that these are where the two sources are. Why can't we have two different plans for two different dangers?
So I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking of scenarios that you could, I mean, you really can't have a fixed exiting or, you know, plan because it won't hold water. But you could have a series of scenarios. You know, if the fire is there, the fire is here, the earthquake, that there would be some suggestions. And then you'd have, and maybe some options, because who knows, wires are down, you know, whatever. So maybe that would help.
You have to,
which is sort of what you're saying.
Where the fire is, which way the wind is blowing.
It's not enough, though, because if you know a fire is coming from the park, you know you have certain arteries to go down. For example, that's your major scenario. If you do that, your problem is that you've got cars parked in opposite directions
right,
on
right.
the streets, which is absolutely insane. It is bat shit insane.
Call the county.
It's not to me
to
call the county. You were the fire board.
I did.
The fire board has to sue the county. If you want to get something done, you have to be more aggressive.
I never thought about that.
This is a problem.
They say it's state law, but...
Well, you know...
I'm not sure. What's your point about
yeah,
the
I'm
parking?
Not sure.
This is a way to partly solve this, but you know, Joe. Some people have to get out of a cul-de-sac.
Right.
They don't
yeah.
have a choice. If they're parking uphill, it's nuts. And
yeah.
so the thing is that there has to be at least two major evacuation plans. You mm-hmm. can't count on the Arlington in an earthquake being viable for anything. It can be ruptured because that's that whole zone, okay, from Colusa up until the base of the Taos on the hills is the zone. Look at the earthquake map. You have to have alternate routes. We have to have people parking and moving in directions that aren't going to be in competition with each other so they can drain the area.
And well, as far as parking, and I mean, the police department is responsible for enforcing parking.
Traffic.
But we have one cop. Yeah, we have one cop on duty, which is setting up the parking on the streets. So that's a problem.
Well, I believe that's been done. You know, if it's not being enforced, that's...
You go down Coventry, and two blocks the cars go like this, next two blocks they're going like that. That's crazy.
I agree.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so the other question I have is, did anyone give you legal advice that says you can't make an evacuation plan? Somebody said that, and I thought, that'd be crazy.
We turn to our subject matter experts, and that would be the El Cerrito Fire Department, but I'm assuming, I don't want to speak for you.
No, I'll speak.
But
I'm
assuming that
other
departments do the same thing. But yeah.
Well, a lot of your points, you really made a lot of your own, the points of why we don't set an exact evacuation route because of the different scenarios that take place. If we're talking about a wildfire situation, it very much depends on where that fire is coming from. In relationship to that, when we do engage in something like that, the fire department's job is to engage in the fire and the extinguishing of the fire. The evacuation part does fall on the police department in that manner. The problem, as you well brought up, is when you only have initially one officer and life safety is the highest measure, that officer unfortunately won't be able to direct traffic right away, nor would we probably in the initial times when we most critically need to get people out of those areas be able to put enough officers there to say, go left here, go right there, or set that route.
I've thought about what you say. Pardon me, but I've thought about what you say. And I have a solution.
Okay.
The solution is, and we've talked about sirens.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we talk about sirens is sirens can actually issue different kinds of sounds.
True.
And so if a fire is coming from up there, which by the way, we won't know if something's coming unless we listen to KCBS, we have nothing else. Mm-hmm. And they may not tell us about Kensington, but or it's going to come from down there. Different, these general warning sirens can put people at least in the know about where to go. And you're right, the police would be useless.
Well, it's be difficult, for sure.
Useless, but difficult.
Yeah. So, well, there's going to be one person, and what are you going to do? There's no place.
Well, especially because they'll be engaged in life safety and getting people out.
And you're going to be draining El Cerrito as well, and Richmond, and Berkeley.
Should drain everybody.
So the whole thing here comes down to a comprehensive approach that recognizes where major dangers come from. Mm-hmm. And the fact that if you want to get emergency vehicles up a street, you've got to be able to clear those streets so people aren't using them, which, you know, could help you on that one. But, you know, at least not having people driving up and making a traffic jam in two different directions.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start thinking about this, I think,
the timer.
Right now there is no evacuation plan. You want to have one. My 5 minutes is done.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment and proactively, if you see a parking issue, instead of waiting for the big one to hit, you know, whenever that may be, call the police. Whether there's one officer or 10, if there's a parking problem, whether it's parking on the wrong side of the street or even parking over 3 days, and these are all, you know, state laws that the police department can enforce. And if we deal with these problems now, when they're fresh in our minds and ahead of any emergency, then whenever we need to deal with an emergency and evacuate, hopefully that day never comes, but at least that one issue will be off the table.
Yes, sir. I was talking about legal parking.
Vida?
I think we're talking about two different things about parking, Joe. I believe Nina will recall, because you were on the board, right after the fire in the Oakland Hills, I happen to live on a cul-de-sac, and our cars are parked.
Going in?
Going into the cul-de-sac. There are three of us like that. York, Windsor, and St. Alice. And I came to this board, and I said, I need your blessing and your cooperation to ask the county to let us park on the other side of the street, so we will be going out. And this board said that they had no problem with it. I went to the police board, the same thing. I wrote a letter to the county. I had the county traffic people come out, look, they measured all three cul-de-sacs. The final response, and I believe someplace in my archives, I've got the letter. It said that changing the parking would result in losing 1.5 parking spaces and the three cul-de-sacs. So, if a fire or an earthquake comes, all I can do is try to run down the steps that are at the end of the cul-de-sac, the steps that connects all those three cul-de-sacs. I came back to this board and I said, will you help me with the county? All I could do at that point was tell the county that if I die in the fire, I'm going to tell my heirs to come and sue you because you didn't change it. Okay? Nothing happened. I think what Mr. Pavian is saying is that, you know, we need these two boards to come down on the county and say, this is our life. The county doesn't give a damn about this. We're in Martinez. They don't care whether we, you know, get barbecued here or get buried under the earthquake. So that's the parking that we're talking about. If you drive around Kensington, you'll see a lot of that. People parking on the streets. Mm-hmm. Legal parking is on the wrong side of the street for an evacuation purpose.
Right. You know, I think I said, and I think I told you this too, Paul, in another meeting, I did call the county, really because of what you raised, and they told me it's state law that they can't. So I can make another call if you want, or ask for some kind of a letter from them. That's what I was told verbally.
That state law requires that you park, that your right tires be within 18 inches of the curb.
Oh, that your right tire?
Your right tire. Okay.
But that's not.
Well, let's get a.
You park on the wrong side of the street going toward the cul-de-sac. That's the legal way of parking for us.
Let me call again and ask them to give us something in writing, because you're right, this is, they just told me, and...
Nina, I'd be happy to work with you.
Would you like, let's do that, okay.
There's
let's call them.
There's a couple different things you can try.
All right.
Including going to Cal Fire.
I think 5 minutes
I can't tell who was first. Yeah, we. You know what, we got an agenda, too. So.
Isn't it 5 minutes per speaker?
Yeah, it's 20 minutes per topic. We're probably okay. I'm just saying, you know. But Pat.
I just have a question. So what's the downside of having the at least two alternative evacuation plans, as Kevin was suggesting? I didn't hear an answer to that. I'm just curious. Is no plan versus having two alternative mm-hmm. plans, even though I guess in every fire you don't know what direction it's going to come from. So if that were true, then we'd never have an evacuation plan for any community. So if you could just explain why, what the rationale is, because I'm just not understanding.
I don't think that it would benefit us at this point to give you, I mean, there. Think about this way. We do have major arteries that you use every day, correct? Right? I mean, you have Mosier that you use to go down the hill.
That's not in Kensington. Mosier does not help us get off the hill.
Okay, but I'm saying as far as feeding away, getting away from out of harm's way, and moving away from a pending fire coming from the east, that being one of our biggest threats. Okay, so that moves us. I'm looking at the different directions. We have Arlington going towards Berkeley, yes. So there's another major artery. We have Beloit that feeds in and goes and feeds down Spruce. So you can the major arteries that we would use to move our folks through out of harm's way and get them out of the community A lot of those you use every day. The problem with that is that one of the biggest problems we find in some of the fires, and what happened in the Santa Rosa area for sure, and that's one of the responders that went there, and talking with those folks up there, is you can't, we don't want to ever have folks delay. That's what that Ready, Set, Go program is all about. It's about not delaying. Once you're notified that there is something that is coming at us like them, we'll use them as an example, you know, it's getting on, getting in your, you know, grabbing your belongings that you have in that go kit, they call, and getting out of that area.
But it doesn't tell you where you go.
Let me tell you my situation, okay?
Okay.
Because this is exemplary, I think, for a lot of people will be facing.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a cul-de-sac on the other side of the Arlington, on Arlington Court. I don't know, because I'm not an expert, you are, and this board is allegedly experts on this, and our advocates. I don't know, should I go down to Arlington, should I go down Sunset, should I go to Mosher? I don't know which way is the best way to go. I'd like some direction from someone who has responsibility for thinking about those issues to tell me rather than to say, there's no plan. That just seems sort of crazy to me, that there would be no plan versus alternative plans.
Well,
so that's my point, and that's what I need an answer to.
Do we have other jurisdictions to look to as a model?
You know, I was going to ask that.
That brochure that the gentleman held up is in collaboration with CAL FIRE.
But CAL districts, like, to give you an example, my other house is in Glen Ellen. My whole neighborhood is gone. I mean, it is gone.
Yeah, I was in Glen Ellen.
Good. Well, I should add you in for call. Because the whole place is gone because people did not have an evacuation plan. And there are very few roads. And there are a few major
very
roads.
Tight.
And as you know about how people rotate in, how the crews rotate in, because our first guys, they go out and they're gone. The people come in, had no idea where anything was, whether vehicles could get through some of the roads, where people lived, how many people they had to get out. So you have to have an evacuation plan. I'm just saying, you have to have an evacuation plan. We are not Fresno. We are not Stockton.
Right.
Even Santa Rosa on a grid of streets, that went so fast for them. You know, you have to have plans where people go to A or B. Mainly that's where it is. You know, if there's a fire at Len's house, you know, he's on his own. Okay, you get the trucks there. I'm sorry, Len, I didn't mean to say that. But, you know,
my dogs.
Like, I know your dogs. So you come to put out the fire, and that's not going to push the destroy. Well, you got a lot of things that are being threatened at once. People just have to have routes to go. And we have to have routes that are going to be clear so the vehicles can come up. If you live on, so when you start talking, if you live on Vassar Avenue, you should start evacuating right now. Right now. Because that place is nuts. Look at how.
Let me just say, Len and I are going to sit down and put our heads together about this. And I can't promise what's going to come, but
isn't the overwhelming issue time? Like you said, you know, it's like you're stuck in a burning aircraft.
Yeah.
You know where the exits are. We know where the streets are. We've been around here. We know. We just don't know where the fire is, and we don't know when it is. If we sleep through the first 15 minutes of the fire on an airplane, we're dead, right? So if we can all be notified, you know, if the sirens can wake people up in the middle of the night, the emergency calling system is good. Everybody, you know, I guess everyone's automatically on it, right?
Anybody that has a landline.
Yeah, right.
If you don't have a landline, if you're on the community warning system,
right,
then you have to register your cell phone with the community warning system.
Right, right. Okay, so we have to be able to be woken up in the middle of the night, and then the next thing is, where's the fire? In which direction is it moving? If we know it's over there, we're going to head down and that way. If we know it's up here, we're going to head away from it. You know? And but if it's after an earthquake, we won't know how many down power lines, high voltage lines, there are crossing the street, or trees lying, or telephone poles on the street. But we don't. You can't know that in advance. You can't say, well, that one's blocked, that one's blocked, that one's blocked. Now we have to we have to deal with it, right? So the best thing, it seems to me, is to be able to notify everyone very, very early, get people out fast, because it's, you know, you don't want to have traffic jam, you don't want to have the last second, because then, you know, everybody's trying to be in the same place at the same time, it doesn't work. So time seems like the only thing we can really do, if there's a way to buy time.
Well, there's a triage factor too. I mean, you don't really know until there's a fire, and then the trick is to triage the situation as quickly as possible and formulate your instructions based on the triage.
Yeah,
Yeah, tell people where to go to get notifiers, right? You know, put that in the message. Okay, does it work that way? Does the notification system know itself where the fire is?
It would tell what area to evacuate.
Yeah.
Okay. It would say if you live this in this box, basically.
Yeah.
Then.
If I can just make a comment, everybody has great points, but they also bring up a big one, and that is we all live in different parts of town. Mm-hmm. And I think what we can tell you that Arlington's a main thoroughfare, or Grizzly Peak is, or Calusa is. However, if you live on Purdue, for example, and the fire's coming from the park, it's going to be a lot more important for you to go west and in a hurry than somebody that lives at the bottom of Coventry. Or I'm on Cambridge, I'd be in a big hurry to get out west or probably south also. And everybody's situation is different, and what everybody is talking about is what they should be thinking about, and that is if the big one hits and it's coming from the park or from the west, then think of your own personal situation. If you're on a court, you know, get out in a certain direction. You may only have one choice, but think of after you get out of that court, where are you going to hit?
Two things. Newt Fisher, I'm so sorry, not the one.
Just, she had her hand up first, and I've been passing her by, so.
I just wanted to say that maybe part of the parking problem could be alleviated if the police did not enforce parking on the, quote, wrong side of the street. I'm on Coventry, and I have to, in my particular place, is I have to park going, facing up. If I could pull in and face down, then that would be, you know, I'd be parked, quote, not on the wrong side of the street. I'd be parked on the right side of the street, but facing in the wrong direction, if you see what I mean. So if the police did not enforce that, and if people could park, quote, faced in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't want to speak for the police department or for the board. I don't think law enforcement can, there are certain places where they have discretion, but I don't know.
That is, I mean, you know, law enforcement deals with immigration and customs, and it has its ways of not cooperating. But the problem with what you say is that you can't stop people from parking on that other side. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you have two people parking on both sides of the street when there can only be one side and there's no room.
Well, no, actually, you can't park on the other side.
Yeah. Oh,
so the other side is illegal. So that the only way that you can park at is going uphill.
Right. How about you trust me to call the county? I'm not sure what I'll ask for. Maybe a thorough assessment, reassessment of Kensington. But like I think Len
streets.
And I will pick odd streets. Yeah.
If you're asking, how can the cul-de-sac parking be direction be reversed?
But it's more than cul-de-sac. I think you're hearing
it's start with
yeah.
That.
No, it's
right. I mean, I live in one. I know exactly what we're talking about. Anyway, if you can trust us to do that, I'd really like to move on.
Thank you.
Sarah, you're okay?
Yeah, I'll pursue it later.
All right. Any others? Just
different
go ahead.
Different topic. So it's about the public safety building in the park, and it is not what's on your agenda today. It's not about
this is not about the
matter.
Okay.
It's about the fact that last month when I came to the meeting, I inquired whether the current building could be seismically retrofitted / remodeled. And Director Dahmer and Director Nagel both used the word impossible. It's impossible. Those
I don't
were
remember
your words.
Saying impossible, but
well, you can
difficult.
Listen to the tape, which was posted today. Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah.
You both told me impossible. And if I had accepted that, which I admit I didn't, but if I had accepted that, I would have been especially surprised to read in the paper the existing building is grandfathered in, so it can be remodeled on the same footprint.
which is what you told the reporter, Linnea.
I believe
so
that's not...
So which is the truth? That, is it impossible or is it possible?
It's you have to look at that building in whole. It has seismic problems that you could upgrade, but you'll never make it to current code quite because the framing is just so light. It's cost us about $100,000 a year to keep the building up. So it's very expensive over the long haul. The other thing that often gets forgotten about is the functionality of it. It's too small. There is an illegal sort of interface between fire and law enforcement. Law enforcement has, if you go into a police department, it's all locked up except that lobby where a citizen come into. They might let you in, but it's separate. You walk in here, and you're walking through the middle of the police department. Other things. Brenda has her office upstairs. She's not a sworn, public safety person. So we're violating the law. We could get sued. And there's no way to put an elevator in there because it would take up 300 square feet.
So there's
no question was possible or impossible?
Well, I'm telling you the problems there are to face, and you can't just do it in one word. Now, the other thing you ask is, right now there is an earthquake fault that runs along the back property line. And it is within 100 square feet of the building. If you start to look in the life safety kind of place, wherever I can't even tell you the reference, but it's in the state legislative manuals. You can't build a new building within 100 feet of it, so you can't tear it down and rebuild because you have an earthquake.
That wasn't my question.
Well, it sounded like that was your
question. No, my question was, is it true it can be remodeled on the same footprint, true or false?
I believe you cannot.
Then why did you say to Linnea that it could be?
I didn't say that.
Well, it's in print here.
It's okay.
The building is grandfathered in, so it can be remodeled on the same footprint. Dahmer does not like that idea.
I disagreed, so can't do it. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so it's not that you don't like it, it's that it's actually impossible.
I believe that the way the law is set up, because the fault is so close to the building, we can't rebuild it. We could.
I didn't ask about rebuilding, I asked about remodeling. Remodeling.
Well, you talked about tearing it down to the footings, so that's.
I did not mention that ever. Tearing it down.
So
the last thing in my mind.
Okay, so you can remodel it as is. You can't add on to it, and that would be allowed. We think the building is a bad investment. So, for all these problems, and you can't rearrange it and make it work. So we think it's not the best way to go.
Let me just say, by word of explanation, this conversation started a couple years ago because we know now that these engines, the chassis, I'm not a firefighter, you may want to jump in here, they are going to be too long. And many of you know we already had to take the backside out of the building, a lot of lockers, sinks, we took it all out so we could get this newest engine in. We have another one coming, it will fit. But after that, they won't fit. And what we know about this building, we didn't know really till we got to take a look at it, is that you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to change the footprint, in other words, in 15 years, less than that. So what we thought is, and plus it's never going to be seismically up to code if we only do what you're suggesting, a remodel, which sounds, I understand why people would think that. It sounds like when we talk about the police department, that's all we're talking about, or space or whatever. But it really has to do with the fact that we can't bring it up to be seismically strong. We do need some ADA stuff.
Improvements,
yeah. But the functionality won't change, and we're still going to have to do something in 15 years.
Yeah, and that's.
And so then we said, well, you know, where do we go from there? Then it's, does a bigger footprint work? And you know we had a schematic. You saw that in the presentation. For a bigger footprint, but now we believe we can't do that because of the earthquake and all these fissures, as you know, that run underneath. So it seems we're going to have to talk about some alternatives, but that's where the conversation is sitting right now.
I'm aware.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So does that answer your question, kind of, or?
Well, I forgot.
It more than answers the question, which was a pretty simple question. Yeah. I would like to make one suggestion.
Okay.
That when you're talking about functionality, you might want to limit your explanations to the scope of the fire department rather than going into the weeds about the police department, because this is the fire board. And the police department's needs are the concern of the police board, and they're also rather unknown at this moment in time.
So
I would have been more convinced by an argument about fire.
I have two things, and we can move on. One is, the parking is sort of the tail that wags the dog in this, because we can't get all the cars off the street, and it's a continual problem. And if we up the force at all or anything, you just can't do it. And we did look early on, before we knew about the fault, building a new building, and we just couldn't make it work. As soon as we made it bigger, then we lost parking spaces. So it's just kind of a box that you can't work your way out of.
Do the big engines, can they go up every street in Kensington?
Yeah, actually I was wondering.
Huge engine, yeah. But, you know, I really would like us to move on, though.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, that's
okay.
I think, say that out loud. That was a yes, just like it's on the tape, since we don't have
The
current big engines, but the 15-year down the road, bigger engines.
Bigger and stronger? And
I thought they keep getting bigger.
And more expensive.
They still have to be able to get to the community, so.
Indeed.
Yes.
Longer. Yes. Oh, that's the other thing, the building. They have like a, what, you have a 2-inch, yeah.
They can alter the wheelbase, they can do a lot of different things to get it to turn tighter.
Last comment.
I have
two
quick comments. One is, I am curious as to whether there, since we really are just the third El Segundo fire station at this point in time, if some thought has been given to looking at the overall configuration of various fire departments to see what would make the most sense in terms of where to house the engines, and whether Kensington really is the best place to house some of those bigger engines, or maybe since our community may not have as many fire emergencies as other parts of El Segundo, that maybe this, you don't need to house those. And I do have a question mark, obviously, about why you spent $200,000 on remodeling. But my second comment is a positive one, which is, thank you for interacting with the public. It's really nice to attend a meeting where the public's about to ask questions and the board actually responds. So many thanks for engaging.
Yay!
Because you're all so nice. Actually, I think, you know, nice is because it's mutual. Probably. Yeah. Okay. Acceptance of the incident activity report, that's all been approved. Number 3, number 4, and we're gonna get the fire chief's report?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, in place of Chief Maples, who is on vacation this week, I'll be giving his report. We do have one item on here for, which was a response to a fire called the Panache Fire back in on June 5th. Our OES engine, it is a state engine, for those of you that are not familiar with that. It's a state-owned fire engine that's housed down at Station 71 in El Cerrito. Because it's a state-owned rig, it gets requested through them for response to fires throughout the state. And we did go to this fire called the Panache Fire in San Benito County. It was a vegetation fire. When our guys first got there, by the time they got there, there was other fires going. There was two fires actually going, called the Airline Fire and the Eastern Fire. They were not needed at the Panache Fire, so they were redirected to those fires. So they got there and went to the place they were most needed. On arrival there, we had Acting Captain David Yoon, Engineer Paramedics David Sesmat, and Aaron Schwartzman, and Firefighter Matthew Clarine. They were on what we call a strike team, so they were with four other engines of similar type with a leader, and they were directed to reinforce fire lines, establish those, make sure that the helicopters could come in and drop lines along, or drop water along the lines that they had. Additional aircraft equipment were brought to the fire. They stopped the growth of it, and it was a few days. They had built various 3,000-foot-long hose lays, which are a lot of work in that steep terrain. After being there for a few days, they were able to stop the forward progress, and they were able to contain everything at a little over 1,814 acres for the fires that they were on. Ironically, tonight, I got a message from Cal Fire that same fire started in the same area tonight, with the same name, same way, 50 acres, extreme rate of spread in the same area. It was ironic we were coming up here to tell you about that fire in the report, and it's here it is going again,
yeah.
Going again tonight in the same spot.
A month later.
Yeah. So, so busy season ahead, and stay at it.
Thank you.
That actually brought up something related that's been bothering me for a while.
To the chief's report?
Similar to the fact that all these fires going on right now, that the original, the northern California fires, the reports came out, or at least they started to come out, that a lot of those were electricity wire initiated fires, and we've been walking around town and a lot of the trees are, tangling with the things. And so I understand the first thing is you call PG&E and they're supposed to legally come out and deal with this, but PG&E takes their sweet time on these things, and it's essentially is it something that you guys in any way can sort of help keep them on track with? Because those are all massive ignition sources waiting to happen.
Couple things on that. One, those fires are still are under investigation.
Yeah, these were the ones that had finished investigation. Yeah. Not all of them. I'm just saying the ones that the investigation reports had finished on and they determined.
Another thing is, coming out of PG&E, PG&E has changed their clearance standards. They have now widened their clearance standards underneath their distribution lines and their power lines. They used to, for example, they would, if they had a piece of property underneath a distribution line, they might just clear the edge of it so that they would box the fire in, basically.
Yeah.
Now it's clear cut.
Yeah.
Everything within those lines are clear cut. There's going to be more and more and more of that ongoing. The other thing, too, that they're moving towards is putting relays in a lot of these lines that allow them, that if a fire is in that area or they've got reports of high winds or something of that nature, that they can start pushing buttons and kill the power.
I'm just saying, the thing is, with all those increased clearances, that's not what's happening around town, is my point.
If you give me your phone number, I can get you the name of the person at PG&E to call about this.
Okay.
I think a lot of also, from I may add, since I've been calling PG&E, I've been an advocate for you guys. A lot of people get confused with the utilities. We'll get called out for a lot of them. A lot of times it's your phone and your internet.
Oh yeah, I am the different layers.
Right, and so the bottom tier is always generally your utility.
Oh yeah, but these are the higher tiers.
Right, that's important to make up, because they've been pretty responsive when I've called them out. They've come out within a few days for the most part. And you can imagine they're getting inundated with every community hitting them up for stuff. And then some people don't want stuff on their property trimmed as well. So, but yeah, if we can advocate for you, if you see something that you do think is a hazard, please report it, and we will advocate on your behalf.
Isn't it true that the high voltage wires are tremendously more of a threat than the 120 volt wire?
Yeah.
Right.
About 12,000. The ones that run up in your upper lines of your telephone.
15,000 volts.
Yeah.
Which means for every 10,000 volts, electricity can arc 1 centimeter. Through air. So,
one thing that has come up occasionally is undergrounding power. And it would make sense, we don't have it, our house is served by underground, but it would make sure that it would make sense that those major streets we've been talking about would be
that underground. That would help to ensure that they can be used
at least escape avenues
after.
Yeah, that's actually, because I remember it was one of the meetings where the director of Coastal had come, she actually talked about how the drone was also partly to say to survey for roads that were blocked by downed power wires, mm-hmm. which seems kind of dangerous in it, given we're both an earthquake and fire zone combined.
Right.
Okay. Really could get trapped.
Okay.
But I just, because he had brought up the...
No, I think those are good comments, and mm-hmm. I learned something about PG&E from that, that they're responsive. Yeah.
They're getting much more aggressive.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on now to the fire hazard abatement hearing. And that's a... It's part of the meeting, but it is a public meeting hearing to talk about the specific homes and then information on the fire abatement program. You may know that there's a published list of homes with names. These are people who have not cleared their property sufficiently. If anybody's in the audience right now that wants to identify themselves on a particular piece of property, you may do so. No?
Regarding discussing a particular
piece? We're going to talk about it later, but yeah, if you'd like to, if you're on the list as someone whose property has been cited, yes, that list. But you would know. I'm gonna turn this over to the fire marshal in 1 second here. Gonna call the public hearing to order, and then we're gonna turn it over to staff for a report and a recommendation, actually, on vegetation management. Yeah.
Well, all the letters are signed by me as the fire marshal. However, I have a tremendous staff person that handles all of the field inspections, and in our keeping in our tradition of how we do these public hearings, we always let him be the person to make the presentation since he's the most familiar with it. So I will turn it over to Fire Prevention Officer Captain Joe Gagne.
Thank you.
Welcome, Joe.
Fire Board, thank you. Thank you, citizens. I just want to start and say this year our main sort of inspection started in May and the paperwork started coming in the beginning of June. That being said, with everything that happened this last fall, we've been getting a lot of interest and calls, and we've been doing stuff throughout the year. So we don't give the order to get rid of the weeds and stuff until June, but we have been working with community throughout, trying to, you know, if we get a complaint, we'll go make contact with the citizen. And so this year we ended up having, I don't know the unofficial from before, we sent out 68 official letters to the community for stuff to clear out. We're down to 31 properties. I think we'll be down, you know, maybe three at the very end, if that. And, you know, everyone's in a constant process of trying to clear out, and letters come out, people get kind of scared, they see the different things. You know, the first letter says, just read this, we're just trying to reduce fuel. And then the second letter is an inspection form, and the third letter is basically, you know, if you don't do this, this is potentially what can happen. And everyone always goes to that letter, and they get really anxious. And so, as for the fire department, we've made our best effort to try and contact citizens. We go out, we talk with them, we'll go through their property, and our goal is not to abate anyone's property. It's not, and you know, we don't get anything out of it. There's no good things from it, and we just want people to maintain our properties and keep them safe. And you know, I've spent a lot of time up here on the ridge on Purdue, been advocating with the Avila Fire Safe to help get money spent here in this community on, you know, these neighborhood grants. Ciara has been a great advocate also for your community. So that being said, I said we're down to 30, and we will have a fraction of that at the very end. And there's a couple properties that are they don't have people living in them. They're in some sort of state of disarray or legal holdings or something. So,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm trying to make contact with people who are supposed to be responsible parties for these parcels, but sometimes people don't want to be contacted, or they'll set up the address of the LLC, and there's actually no one for me to go knock on their door and contact, and so. We've gone out of our way, we've driven out of the area to talk to people. I've gone to Richmond and some of the local communities for people that own property here, because I want them to know, hey, please clean up your yard and make it safer for you, make it safer for your neighbors and the community. So that being said, we're down to 31, and I'm pretty sure a few more would be off of that if we were to go out tomorrow. So.
Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, has there been any luck to East Bay Regional Park? Because I remember last meeting there was a lot of talk that they're just letting all their stuff, you know, build up.
Well, I mean, East Bay Regional Park's a large district, you got to imagine. So they've been responsive to us for some things. I know Sierra sees the work they do too, and they've been trying to help on this ridge, but she's been leading a lot of the work too. And I can't speak for their organization. Their park is its own land, if you will, and we try to do what we can. We make calls to them, we ask them to do things, but it's its own jurisdiction. Yeah.
We basically have no legal jurisdiction.
Oh yeah, I appreciate the.
We did. Let me tell you.
I mean, we
made some changes.
The back area of Purdue, I know Chief Maples has made some way, and the elves have helped clear out some of that area too. But you know, I think the proactive approach as community, as to rather waiting for them to do something, I think has been paid far more. I know, you know, even in El Cerrito, we'll have some citizens that are upset with the park, and you know, they just don't know what to do with them. And you know, we can call and ask for help too, but it's just, you know, the park is such a huge area. I mean, it's just, we got this park, East Bay Regional covers so many parks that are not even in this general area, so it's hard to speak on their behalf. But I mean, it's kind of an upper level type thing that they get to deal with together.
After many, many years, our relationship with the East Bay Regional Park is improving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've given us a lot more access to do stuff where they feel maybe they can't maybe proactively engage in some of the vegetation management. They've let Sierra kind of take the lead on some of the stuff.
Well, we now have a legal binding right of entry agreement with the East Bay Regional Parks, and we're into, gosh, almost 10 years of it, and it allows citizen projects inside the edge of the park. And they have finally appointed people who are much more appreciative both of the problems we face and the fact that we are bringing energy to do what we can. So there is work going on.
Yeah.
And your community has been very proactive in protecting itself against, I mean, I hate to say it, against the park, but there's hazards associated with it, and you guys aren't waiting for them to deal with you. You guys are dealing with the hazards, and that's good for you guys. You know, kudos.
Well, another way to look at it is that they are sitting on and creating a hazard for which the communities that surround it might do well to get together and ask for legislation to force the parks to create appropriate fire breaks, because it's their land and it's great to have citizens do it. But here are other people fighting us uphill.
I'll give you in about two sentences a different point of view. The political energy that would be required to try to do that is so massive, and you have no idea of the outcome. We are all far better off to be working to maintain that 30 feet immediately around our homes and to be lifting our hands and doing what we can. The amount of political energy would be incredibly daunting, but some good things have occurred over a period of time.
It's not either or, and they are liable, and they can do it.
Does anyone else have any comments about our program?
I'm curious how wide fire breaks need to be at the edge of the park to do how much protection. You know, under some circumstances, nothing would work, right? There's a highway. And if there are embers flying, you know, 4 miles ahead of the fire. But if there's no strong east wind, or, I don't know, I mean, if there's fog coming in, I don't know if the fire would even still want to go up the hill or not. I still would, but not very fast. Right? So how much fire break gets you how much protection against wildland fire?
It's hard to say.
It's
hard to say.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, so if you're out, if you had a house on that side, how much would you want to cut?
Well, you obviously want to be responsible for your property and clear as much as your own property.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, obviously the perimeter of the park is a huge amount of...
Tremendous amount of space, right? So, right. You know, 20 feet, 40 feet, 100 feet. Yeah.
Given that you live in a high fire hazard area, we look for, if we can, a minimum of 100 feet.
Okay, so that assumes no flying embers, just plain fire, right?
Well, right. There's a lot of different things for embers. I mean, roofing, what kind of roofing materials do you have? Yeah. Not putting stuff by your house. I mean, you follow right. that ready, set, go. You know, you look right. at those, and all the different things, all the different aspects. There's a lot of different
right. Right.
aspects
right.
to it.
How sturdy the house is itself, how correct. Resistant, very delicate, yeah. right?
You know, whether or not how your eaves are set up. I mean, there's a lot of different
right.
aspects of it. Where those embers get in, where those embers get cast.
I always like to send people the Be Ember Aware pamphlet with 23 mm-hmm. different ways embers can get in your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and open it up to the board. Do we want to discuss this? Do we have a decision? Support the resolution?
Report, yes. Let's have
I would make a motion we adopt Resolution 18-06. Second.
Larry Nagel, second.
Okay, we have 2 seconds. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. You have to do a roll call.
Oh, I have to do that. I keep forgetting because he's a phone. Sorry about that. All right. Director Nagel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Director DeVine?
Aye.
I vote aye.
Don votes aye.
Yes, okay. So it's unanimous. Sorry, you'll have to keep telling me that. All right, we're going to move on to item 8, and I have a feeling a lot of you are here because of the park discussion, so I am going to invoke the 5-minute rule. Director DeVille is going to hold you to it, and we should say no more than 20 minutes for the topic. I think I'm just going to be a little more flexible with that, but 5 minutes, definitely. Well, I want everyone to feel they've had their say. But I would say this, if you hear somebody saying the exact same thing you would have said, you know, you might just trust them. Trust us to have heard that. All right. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to talk about where I am. Yeah.
Okay.
So this item is, I wanted to do, and if you came last time, I said I was going to go out and find documentation for the bond part of the bond for the bought the park to see if there's any limitations on use other than what's already there. And I thought, and we haven't had really, that hasn't happened on our sister agency at all. They have they've been quiet on that. So I thought we would just try to find out, you know, hire an attorney. We have called attorney and find out the reading of the bond language. And then after I got ready to do this, I thought, well, maybe I'm a step ahead, that it would be good if we had some sort of an ad hoc committee, you know, like you talked about, that might be a little bit more better politics than going the way it was going to go. But I am wanting to see some progress. So I think we still have to do this, or someone has to do this to find out, because we have, well, let me go back. There's virtually no other place in town to build. I mean, we've looked at that a number of times. There's a criteria, it ought to be on the Arlington so that there's, you know, better traffic flow and better access. And in the middle of town, not, I think I've said this one time and I got in trouble, but, you know, not buying out the gas station. You know, so far off center that would be not a great location. So we're really limited. So we're, if we had, you know, if someone has a lot, find something, let us know. Someone asked if we could condemn some houses. That's generally a really bad reaction to do that. You know, if commercial, yeah, but residential, we probably would need 4 or 5 lots, you know, in order to get a site this big enough. So we have given that up. I'm not done.
Okay. Just wait a little bit, yeah.
So anyway, I'm just thinking now if we could have a group that we could go ahead and proceed, you know, so we're both on the same page rather than, so far there's been no communications since last fall. So I'm asking that we just continue this mission. We can still talk about it, but that's sort of where I stand.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's, since it's Park District, and at this point, the other board is responsible for that property, that we, and they've already asked, as far as I know, for a legal opinion.
They should.
No, we've been told that.
That's what we've been told, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're waiting, I think.
Okay.
I think we should.
Wait.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do have to make progress, so we do need to gain momentum.
I agree,
yeah, so whatever that is, we need to get going.
Right, and I know that was your intention in trying to jumpstart this, but I just want to say also, it's not our land, it doesn't matter what our attorneys would say about it, it's the attorney that represents the board. And the only thing I know specifically is maybe you can even confirm or deny that that has been sent to the attorney, right?
That's been requested.
Right, but you have to remember, not that I'm an apologist for them, but remember they've got two enormous issues on the table right now. So while this is important, you can also see that this is a busy community. Yeah, Ciara?
Don, just to reassure all of you, early last spring, I got the documentation to Eileen and Tully, including the language of both advisory votes and the bond measure, regarding specifically what you're asking about, so that their attorney could look at it.
Actually,
so
I got the bond measure. That was the one piece that was missing, and I knew that what was in front of the voters would be very critical to the analysis, and that took a little bit of time. I'm sure it'll surprise you, the county didn't have it. It took a while to get it, but we have that now. NCR was very helpful in getting a lot of the other materials, and so they've all been presented to our attorney, and we've asked for advice.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Larry, do you have any comments you want to make on this?
No, I don't have further comment.
Okay. Thank you. Well, it sounds like the votes aren't there, but we're going to have to... We have to hear a motion for this to die?
No.
I'm not hearing... Anybody want to move on this? I'm not hearing anyone move on that, so this just dies, correct?
Yes.
So it's an action item that had no... votes.
Either that or you table that until later.
I'd rather let that be a discussion in the future. I'd rather just, for me at least, I'd rather just see this go for now. I will feel the same way in 2 months. It isn't our land. So this dies for lack of emotion.
I'm mistaken, you're talking about the land that's immediately south of the library.
Correct. That's been our...
It's like the only empty spot in the
So we did have a working relationship with them, and they did agree that we could do these studies, and Rochelle came and looked at the material.
Yeah, it's not way too steep to make it work.
Say again?
It's very steep.
You know, I think, not to interrupt too much, but I think somewhere out there we're going to have another presentation. I know that Don has talked about that, not now, obviously, but when there's more information. And I think some of those specific questions are perfect, and they can be better answered than in here at least.
You should walk up in the parking area.
Yeah.
There is a 12-foot-high retaining wall. There's another retaining wall at the back of the, back of the building. And so... I mean, it's the nature of this town. I mean, we're not going to find an acre and a half of level land.
Seems like you can squeeze it in. Yeah,
yeah. And actually, if you're interested, if you walk through the parking lot of the library, one, you'll come upon a little grove of redwoods that's really unexpected,
right.
And then you'll see that the land comes up and then kind of flattens out a bit and then goes up again. So, but yeah, it's a steep place.
And we don't know if there are fissures running through it.
We
don't know, but there's you can get a map and look, and it would appear to be less of an issue than where we are. There's a lot of little fissions about,
It seems like a really good geologic report would be absolutely critical.
Oh, we have to do that.
Taking any steps.
Sure.
Whatever, because you were so surprised by what happened with the last one.
We were. I mean, because the last geotech said there were no fissions on any... east of the Arlington, and so we should have been.
Geotech.
I mean, if we had to do it over again, we would have just gone ahead.
There are a couple of really good sources of information on earth movement, and not only landslides, but also fissures and rifts on that are not generally known. There was a wonderful research project done at Cal by Roland Bergman and a big team of people using low Earth orbit interferometry from radar satellites. And what they did is they can measure the distance to the surface of the Earth.
Wait, just
finer than 1 centimeter.
No, just keep it short.
So, yeah, so
finish your sentence.
Anyway, so they actually produced an image showing where the Earth is actually moving over a 7-year period, which is similar to where the landslides are shown on geologic maps, but better because it's the real movement. So you can find the real areas where it's moving, where it's not moving.
And yeah.
That's one great source. And the other thing is that the whole issue of rift zones is just a complete mystery until you drill a tunnel through it. Right, and when they did that for East Bay Mud to get from San Pablo Reservoir to the filter treatment plant at the bottom of town, the chief engineer for that project told the USGS woman who built the first map for USGS of the Hayward Fault that there was 600 feet or 900 feet, I'm forgetting, of intensely sheared rock. Right, so that he actually nailed the width of the rift zone at one point going through town, which is like under Westminster. So anyway, there are a few little clues that are really good, accurate information, and there's a lot of guesswork on top of that. So if you miss the good clues, you could be off by 300 feet, right? So that's important.
So I'd like to move on to board reports, unless there's something. Okay. Finance Committee, we're not meeting. Jan's not here for COSL. The website, I think, Brenda, you're the technical person there.
Pretty much done. I'll probably turn it on at the end of this week, and then you guys can all tell me what you want.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Okay. And it's up for everybody to look at?
I'll turn it on at the end of this week, or ask them to turn it on.
All right, good.
Who's the webmaster for the website?
Pat has a question.
For you. Thank you.
She answered your question.
Yeah.
Okay. Contra Costa Special Districts Association, Larry, you know this, we need to nominate somebody, give direction to Brenda for the CSDA, and I know you've seen the packet. Did you have a recommendation or a thought?
Well, we do, but that's not for the Contra Costa County, and that's
right.
Genesis. That's they're asking us to vote for a director chair for
the state,
for CSDA,
right.
Not Contra Costa County Special Districts.
Right.
And the people that are there, Bob Solano is currently a director with the Menlo Park Fire Protection District, and he's the incumbent.
Yes,
and,
I saw that.
From all I hear, he's doing an excellent job. So my vote would be to vote for him again. But I don't know who was supposed to make that recommendation. It doesn't have anything to do with the Contra Costa County Special Districts Association.
But the districts nominate or put in a vote towards the candidates. Is that what you're asking, Larry?
No. Janice is a member of the...
Right.
Janice is a member of the Special Districts Association, right?
For the state, correct.
Yeah, and so she's the one who would probably be making the recommendation. But I would expect she would also support Mr. Solano.
Yeah. No, the process is that our manager does that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but thank you. I mean, I happen to agree with you. The incumbent is probably doing a good job. There was a very nice letter that was written by one of the candidates. I always appreciate letters. It shows you're interested and have something to say.
So we should kind of call and say yes?
Probably, yeah. I don't know this is a vote, but I would vote for the incumbent.
Okay. I would. Yep.
You would too?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have an unanimous consensus. Diablo Farsi? No comments? Nothing current? Okay. Diablo Farsi, but You didn't go, right?
Just about, yeah, and then, you know, there is an item. We have a meeting of the Contra Costa Special District Association next Monday, and hopefully you're going so that I can get a ride out there with you.
Well, we'll talk.
Okay.
I'm gonna be in New York, and I just won't be back till the next day. But I'll talk to you. We'll talk about that. Sorry.
Good. All right.
Okay.
That's all for SDA.
Yes. All right. Thank you. I wanted to share publicly. Where'd that nice letter go? The folks that lived at the Purdue residence sent a wonderful letter. Some of you may have gotten to see that, and it's always heartwarming for us to get it, but I know it means a lot to you and your team always. With a special thanks to Fire Chief Pagoni. We've noticed that too in our dealings with him, and I'm sure you would have been had you been there that night. You know, this is such a coordinated effort. It was a real, I'll use the word joy. It's always a joy to know that there's this kind of teamwork, training, high level of professionalism. Law enforcement sees the same thing. This is emergency response folks. They did their job. Huh? And with that,
may I ask a quick question? I just
before we close.
Is it possible to be notified of these meetings? You can sign up like on the website or something.
You want to answer that? Yeah.
Put the new one.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So do we have to sign up with you, Brenda?
You'll have to sign up on the website.
On the website. Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Good. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. Paul?
No.
Nope, that was a... Okay, yeah. All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you. Thank you really for coming and sharing. I know I cut you off, but...
All right.
It was probably technical rather than... Yeah.
Sure.
Much to do about it. So
goodbye, Larry.
Are you new?
I'm excited.
Bye, Larry.